This morning our text is found in the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, and we'll begin reading with verse number 10. This is the third in a very brief series on God's limitless resources. And the purpose of these three messages has been to help us create a culture of generosity, not just our purses and our pocketbooks, but from the heart, giving to others as God has been good to give to us. You know, I hold in my hands a book of inspiration. We all believe that this is God-breathed, that the Bible came to us because the Holy Spirit spake to holy men of old who recorded what God said for them to write down. And it is ours today because it is a God-illuminated and breathed word. It is a book of preservation. There have been pallbearers who have done their best to bury this book. But this morning, the pallbearers have been buried, and this book is very much alive. God has preserved His Word throughout the ages. And it is also a book of inspiration and illumination. So when we read this book, we learn from it. When we read this book, we discover the will of God and the ways of God, God's purposes and God's plan. And I am convinced that this book this morning will teach us about a generosity culture that many of us have never really experienced, because our God is a giving God. And as I said week before last, and as I said last week, and as I now say again, you and I are never more like our Heavenly Father than when we are giving. For our God is a giver. Every good and perfect gift came from Him to us, to go through us, to a world that needs to be exposed to the generosity of God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the text today is from King David's prayer. David cannot build the temple, but his son Solomon is going to build the temple. But David prepares for the building of the temple by gathering all of the materials and by receiving a love offering, a willful, heart-expressed offering from the people of God. Verse 9 of the passage I'm about to hear says that the people rejoiced because they gave willingly with a whole heart, and that David the king rejoiced also because of the willing giving of the people. Now verse 10. So David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel and our father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now, we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers. Keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the heart of your people, and direct their hearts toward you. If your heart captures the essence of David's heart, he is saying, God, look at this offering that we have brought before you. But we cannot boast and we cannot brag, for all we have done is to return to you what you willingly gave to us. O Lord, who are we? Who are these people that we would think we had given an offering to you? For you are God, and all of this belongs to you, and we have simply returned to your hand that which you have blessed us with. And now catch this. O God, David prays, may this culture of generosity, may the purpose in which all of this was done, be in the hearts of your people, both now and forevermore. May you discover that your God is a giving God, and that if you're going to resemble him in your life, you too will be a giving person. I want to share five principles with you. I'll do so rather quickly. The last one that I'm going to share is this: giving God's way is life changing. And you'll know by the time I arrive at the fifth one why that's the last thing I want to leave on your mind. Living and giving God's way is life changing. When we live like God instructs and we give like God commands, it changes lives. Now here's the first principle. God owns it all. Would you agree? God owns it all. He possesses it and he presides over it. The air that you're breathing right now, it's his. The ground that you walk on, he made it. The scenery that you look at, he created it. The eyes that you see through, the ears that you are hearing me with, the lips that you speak and sing with, the body that you have today, the blood that pumps through the vessels and arteries, everything about you and everything about you belongs to him who made it all. The sun shines warm on your face. He is the author and creator of the sun. The moon gives you light by night. He made that too. The rivers, the seas, the streams, why, he carved them out with his hand. The majestic mountains, he spoke them into existence. You cannot name anything that God did not make. He is the author of all that is. In fact, the psalmist said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. He's to be glorified this morning. He's to be praised this morning. He's to be worshiped this morning because he is Creator God. He owns it all. But he not only possesses it all, he presides over it all. I understand that things happen that we question. And even those of us who have read the scriptures all of our lives and those of us who have tried our best to stay close to God, we often look at our world and we wonder why this and why that, and question marks abound in the world that we live in today. But I want you to know for sure that God is in control. I want you to be for sure that God rules and that God overrules. I want you to know that nothing happens that God is not aware of, and that God cannot stop, or God cannot start, or God cannot intervene. Someday it'll all be explained when face to face we see our Savior. Today, some is hard to explain, but you can rest in this one thing. God owns it all. He possesses it, and he presides over it. Which leads us to a second principle. God wants all that he owns to be in circulation. Now, here's what I mean by that. I hear that all the gold there is in Fort Knox. But how many of you know that that gold does not help me pay my bills? Does it help you pay yours? It's locked away in Fort Knox. God wants all that he owns to be in circulation. He is not a stingy God. He is not a selfish God. He is not a stubborn God. God wants everything that he created to be used and enjoyed by his children. A bell is not a bell until it's rung. A song is not a song until it's sung. A joy is not a joy until you share it. And love is not love until you give it away. And we might add to that, and wealth is not wealth until you circulate it. God wants his to be circulated among his own. I told you in the outset, I told you last week and the week before, the nature of our Father is such that he is a giving God. And I want to say to you this morning that I think that is one of the most important principles in Scripture. Now, you challenge me, I'm sure, and say, well, what about redemption? Well, what about redemption? For God so loved the world that he gave so that we could be redeemed. Well, yes, okay, you've got me there. Well, what about worship? And the saints fell down and gave their allegiance and their worship unto the Lord, crying, holy, holy, holy. What you'll discover if you read the Word of God is from Genesis to Revelation, God is a loving God. He's a giving God. He's a merciful God. He's a forgiving God. And everything about God makes God a part of the giving process. If the generation of people in this world today understood the generation that has gone before us, they're shouting the praises of God in glory because God gave grace to the unworthy, and God gave love to the unlovely, and God gave blessings to those who did not deserve it. On heaven today, they worship God because he is a giving God. The example of our Savior, throughout his ministry, he received so few things. He gave so many things. He had no home, no place to lay his head. He owned no form of transportation, had to borrow a donkey on one occasion, had no burial grounds and borrowed a tomb on another occasion. He was a giver. And for us to be like him, that's what we'll need to do also. Number three, the way to appropriate God's wealth is to give it. Now, I want to tell you something. I hope you know this, but if you don't know this, I hope you get it this morning. All of God's wealth belongs to all of God's children. I'll shout that because you evidently didn't hear what I said. If I had have said, here's your winning numbers for the lottery, and you would have read them off on your ticket, you would have shouted. Now listen, all of God's wealth belongs to all of God's children. If that is true, and it is, then that means all my need can be supplied through his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That means that under every circumstance and in every situation, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we would ask or think. I get amused. I think it's really an enjoyable thing to talk to the children and ask the question, what do you want for Christmas? And you hear a lot of wants. But listen, in the ministry, we talk to people and say, what do you need? And church, you may not be aware of this, but we hear a lot of needs. It's not just wants. It's not a toy. It's not a piece of equipment to play with. It's not an entertainment. It's food for the table. It's heat for the cold days ahead. It's a way to get to work. There are needs. And you have no idea unless you recognize the first premise that all of God's wealth belongs to all of God's children. If you recognize that, then you can say to everyone with a legitimate need, don't you worry. I own enough to help you. Well, where did you get it? I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and my Father is rich in houses and lands, and He owns the wealth of the world in His hands. And He's given me just enough to share with you, because you're in need and I am blessed. And that's what a culture of generosity looks like and feels like when God shows you a need and makes you aware that you have been blessed to help meet that need. We appropriate God's wealth by giving. Number four. We're always to give according to His resources, not ours. You see, if all of you brought your need and laid it in the altar, and we tried to use my bank account to meet your needs, we'd run out fairly soon. But if we used heaven's bank account, we could not run out. God would have as much after all needs were met as He did before we began to meet needs, for His resources are limitless. You cannot take from God because God is full. You cannot take from God and make Him less than He is because God is who God is and always has been, is, and will be. And the point that I'm making is this. There are two kinds of giving. There is the reason giving and there is the revelation giving. Here's the reason giving. The light bill needs to be paid. The heat needs to be turned on. We need food on the table. That's reason giving. There's a reason for me spending what I have. And then there's revelation giving. God reveals a need that it may not help me in the sense of money in the pocket, but it'll help others. It's a revelation giving. You've heard this expression, give till it hurts. That's not a biblical expression. The Bible does not talk about giving till it hurt. It talks about giving until it feels good. God loves a joyful, a cheerful giver. And you know what that word is in the original? God loves a hilarious giver. You don't give till it hurts. You give till you're full of joy. You don't give because of what you have. You give because of what He has. And if you're saying, are you talking about our purses and our pocketbooks? Yes, eventually. First and foremost, I'm talking about you. You give who you are. You surrender all. Vance Havner used to say when we sing that hymn at the end of the service, I surrender all. He used to say more lies are told in a Baptist church on Sunday morning in that last 5 minutes than anywhere else all week long, because we fail to surrender all. But when we give ourselves, what we have comes with us. Don't give out of the mind. Give out of the heart. Don't give mathematically. Don't take the calculator and add up the bills and see what's left. God is not a God of leftovers. Don't see what you need and give Him the rest. Give Him what's rightfully His and see that what you have will be all you need. Hear what I say? Give Him what's rightfully His and see that what you have left is all that you need. Which brings me now to that fifth principle. If you give God's way, it's life-changing. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, well, how's that going to change my life? It'll change your life, but I'll get to that in a moment. Giving God's way is life-changing because when you give, lives are changed. I'll tell you how the first life has changed. When a child watches daddy cultivate a spirit of generosity, the child learns to refrain from selfishness and move toward generosity. When you teach your children that you can't outgive God, they don't forget that. When they understand the principle of sharing the blessings of God with others, they grow up in that environment, and it changes their life. And they teach their children, and it changes their life. And generations go by until in your family unit, from great-grandfather to grandson and all in between, a generous spirit has been created because they've been taught to give. Not selfishly hold back, but to give. I'll tell you who else's life has changed. People you have never met and people you may never meet until we all walk together on streets of gold. When you give to missions, not only to people in Conway, but people in the Congo hear the gospel. Not only to people in Arkansas, but people in Africa hear the gospel. Not only to people that live where you live, but people that would not know about where you live hear the gospel. Lives are changed. And the truth is, your life is changed because you begin to reap what you sow. Because you begin to understand that when you bless the Lord, your barns are full, according to the Proverbs. You begin to understand, according to Malachi, that the windows of heaven have been opened and God has poured out a blessing upon you that you cannot even comprehend. Now, let me address something and then we'll sing together. But, Pastor, I don't have much. What happens if I give what I have and then I need it later? Grasp this principle. You cannot say as a Christian, I don't have much. What you must say as a Christian is little is much when God is in it. What you cannot say as a Christian is, what if I run out? Because as a Christian, you share in all of the resources of Almighty God. And to say that God would run out of resources is pure blasphemy. As a Christian, you can't say, but what if I needed it? For as a Christian, you must say, my God will supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And here's one I hear often, but Pastor, what if I give it away and they misuse it? It won't be what they did with the cold drink. It'll be you're giving them the cold drink that brings the blessing. It won't be what they did with the coat. It'll be you giving a cold man a coat on a winter's day that brings the blessing. It won't be what they did with the meal. It'll be you supplying the meal that will bring the blessing. It won't be what they did with the dollar. It will be you willing to give the dollar that brings about the blessing. Worry not about how it's spent. Worry about giving because God has been good to give to you. And now in conclusion, when you stand and you look in the mirror of God's Word and you wished somehow that you looked more like Jesus than you do, maybe the first step is to pray, oh God, create in me, in my heart, in my family, a culture of generosity so that as I give, I will take on the resemblance of the greatest giver we know anything about, a God who gave His Son, a Son who gave His life, and a Spirit who gives Himself. Now that's the pattern. The limitless resources of God are available to us to circulate in God's world for God's glory. May we pray that God will make us generous givers. Let's stand. Now, there may be those in our service today who do not know Christ as your personal Savior. He comes first. Until you know Him as Savior, unless you know Him as Savior, you'll never have the generous spirit to be a giver as you ought. So pastors will be in the altar while we sing this song of encouragement. If you'll come and take one of them by the hand and say, I just want to know Christ and know that I know Him, they'll share with you the good news of the gospel. Maybe you want to become a part of our church family. You can come. Maybe you want to come because you've been saved and follow the Lord in baptism, as one young man did in first service this morning. But maybe you just want to come and find a kneeling place and pray, Lord, I've just always been so worried and so anxious and so unable to give and share because I was afraid that I'd need it. But I've seen the light of the Word of God, and I know that if I'll help meet the needs of others, you'll meet my needs, because it's the endless resource of God pouring it in me so He can pour it through me. We're just the channels. We're the piano that plays the beautiful music. We're the ball bat that hits the home run. We're just the channels through which the praises of God and the provisions of God flow in us to go through us. And maybe you want to pray that prayer this morning. Oh God, create a culture of generosity in me that will make me a different person. Let's sing together, and pastors, you come if you will.